Good morning, everyone, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to JBS fourth quarter and 2020 results conference call. With us here today, we have Gilberto Tomazoni, Global CEO of JBS, Guilherme Cavalcanti, Global CFO of JBS, André Nogueira, CEO of JBS USA, Wesley Batista Filho, CEO of JBS South America, and Christiane Assis, Investor Relations Director. This event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After JBS remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward statements are based on beliefs and assumptions of JBS management. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events and therefore depends on circumstances that may or may not occur. Now, I will turn the conference over to Mr. Gilberto Tomazoni, Global CEO of JBS. Mr. Tomazoni, you may begin your presentation.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining today's call. The results for 2020 make us very proud because it was produced a positive impact for us, for our team members, investors, society, and the planet. Last year, we reaffirmed our commitment, invested globally, and looked after people, the community, and protecting the planet. Our business is a people business, so looking after people's health and safety was our first priority. We adopted the most advanced safety protocol in our operation, designed in partnership with specialists in Brazil and U.S. We placed high-risk groups on leave, enhanced social distance conditions throughout our operations, and strengthened the use of personal protection equipment. Millions of people have benefited from our social program, Fazer o Bem faz Bem in Brazil and Home Strong in U.S. Sorry, Home Strong Town in U.S., outside Brazil, in U.S. and in Canada. As part of our action, we built hospital, donated respirators, ambulance, and more than 10,000 tons of food to those in need, among other social initiatives. You can find details on our website. In 2020 was also the year of great progress in strengthening our mission of feeding the world with sustainability. Sustainability has become the lens through which we look at all our action and decision in the company. In other words, we put sustainability at the core of our strategy. This was a strategic view that led us to global public commitment we have announced this week to achieve net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2040. You can find more information in how we will achieve the goals on the JBS Net Zero website. The Fund for Amazonas, which aims the financial and sustainable development for local communities with reforestation, bioeconomy, and technology development initiatives, is now full speed ahead. We have already selected the first project for this initiative. We have invested in the circular economy to reduce greenhouse emissions and increase our competitiveness in installing plants for recycled plastic, manufactured fertilizer, and biodiesel, using industrial waste as the main part of the raw material. Our effort has been recognized by the standard entity. The CDP listed JBS as the best Brazilian company in the industry in the climate change category. JBS is also among the first 10 Brazilian companies with the best performance in the FAIRR Index, jumping eight positions in a year. Our compliance program is also moving ahead at pace. we have conducted over 190,000 training sessions, help us for staff globally. Our innovation head and brand strategy remain strong. We have launched over 1,400 new products around the world. Our plant-based business is progressing rapidly. The highlight being the Seara and Pivo range, with over 50% market share in Brazil. Our focus is to become a house of brands, with the aim to have 10 brands each with more than $1 billion in sales by 2030. The accelerated online purchasing has presented an exceptional opportunity to talk directly to the consumer and enhance our partnership with the retailers. I invite who would like to try out an excellent barbecue to have an experience and to buy online in the Wild Fork website in the U.S. In 2020, we achieved the lowest debt level in our history, 1.58 times in dollars and 1.68 times in reais. In addition, our free cash flow exceeds $3 billion. Growth is part of our DNA. Our history speaks for itself. We are constantly evaluating M&A opportunities. Using our cash generation for growth has been and continues to be our priority in search for assets that makes strategic sense and which are at the right price. It's a combination to be strategic and the right price. At times like this, it's essential to practice financial discipline and not just as we grow for the sake of growth, but the value growth. We made two acquisitions, did not have a strong impact on cash position, but were the enormous strategic importance. The margarine business of Bunge in Brazil, which gave Seara the strength to compete in the segment, and the Empire Pack in the U.S. with the case-ready portfolio. With a few interesting M&A opportunities, we decided to repay debt early, invest in modernizing our plants, accelerate investment in Seara, pursue organic growth for value-added in the U.S., strengthen ESG initiatives, repurchase shares, and proposed a record dividend. After all of this, we have maintained financial conditions for potential strategic acquisitions. A public list in the U.S. continues to be of a strategic movement. In these pandemic times, we are focusing on the health and safety of our people and fulfill our responsibility to feed in the world. But we don't stop to work during this period. We have taken several internal steps in preparation to be the company public in the U.S. The listing in the U.S. is not a question of if, but rather than when. And it will occur at the moment, the opportunity moment, in the best interest of the company. Thank you all for the attention, and I will now hand over to Guilherme, who will go in details of our operational results. Guilherme, please.
Thank you, Tomazoni. Please, let's move to page 24 with the financial highlights of the year, where I would like to highlight that despite all the challenges, we continue to deliver solid performance based on our focus on financial discipline and operational efficiency. In 2020, consolidated net revenues reached $52 billion, or 270 billion reais, which is 32% higher than 2019. The adjusted EBITDA was $5.6 billion, or 29.6 billion reais, that represents an EBITDA margin of 10.9% in the year. In 2020, we presented a net income of 4.6 billion reais. It is important to highlight that this profit was negatively impacted by 7.8 billion reais of exchange rate variation on the balance sheet accounts, a large part of which was due to the impact of the exchange variation on liabilities between companies of JBS Group, which had their profile changed to investment. Discount the effect of the exchange rate variation on these intercompanies, net income would have been around 10 billion reais. The strong cash generation and low leverage allowed us to propose dividends of 2.5 billion reais, equivalent to approximately $487 million, to be approved at the shareholders' meeting. The free cash flow reached a record high of $3.3 billion, or 17.8 billion reais. That is 87% higher than the free cash flow generated in 2019. The financial discipline, along with the strong cash generation, allowed our leverage to reach a record low of 1.58 times in U.S. dollars. With this low leverage, we were able to use the strong free cash flow to, one, make acquisitions totaling approximately $400 million, including the acquisition of Bunge's margarine assets in Brazil and the case-ready production units of Empire Packing in the United States, to pay dividends in the amount of $250 million, to exercise our share buyback plan in the amount of $230 million, equivalent to 1.3 billion reais, pay leases of $300 million, and reduce the company's net debt by $1.8 billion. The dividend paid in 2020 represented a 2.4% yield. Adding to the share buyback in 2020, we have a yield of 5.5%, the highest among the international peers. For 2021, considering the proposed dividends as mentioned earlier, we have a dividend yield of 3.5%. Adding to the share buyback carried out up to March 8 in the total amount of 2.6 billion reais, we have a total yield of 7.2%. To conclude this slide, I would like to highlight that for another consecutive year, we have reduced significantly our interest expenses thanks to our liability management. In 2020, we presented a net financial expenses of $724 million, which represents a reduction of $84 million compared to 2019. If we add the reduction of $60 million generated by the payment of the 2025 bond in February of this year, this reduction would be a total of $144 million per year. Now, please, let's move to slide 25, the highlights of the quarter. So in relation to the highlights of the quarter, the net revenue totaled 14 billion reais in the fourth quarter 2020, $14 billion, equivalent to 76 billion reais, which represents an increase of 33% in the annual comparison. The consolidated EBITDA reached $1.3 billion in the quarter, or 7 billion reais, with a margin of 9.2%. The free cash flow generated remained robust, totaling $697 million, or 3.8 billion reais in the fourth quarter, which is 18.6% higher than the fourth quarter 2019. And we ended up 2020 with a total availability, including revolving credit lines, in the amount of $4.6 billion, which is enough to pay all the debt until mid-26. Now, slide 26 and slide 27 shows the evolution, the graphic evolution of net revenue, gross profit, EBITDA, net income, both by, for the year and for the quarter. So let's move to slide 28, please. We had our debt profile. I would like to highlight in the graph on the left our decrease of 16.6% in the net debt in dollars that ended 2020 at $8.9 billion, equivalent to 46 billion reais. As a result, net leverage measured in reais reduced from 2.16 times in 19 to 1.56 times in 2020. And net leverage in dollars decreased from 2.13 times to 1.58 times. The cash position of $2.6 billion, together with the revolving line of $2 billion, allowed us to the end of the year with a total availability of $4.6 billion, as mentioned earlier, which is 6.5 times higher than the short-term debt. Moving on to the pie chart at the bottom of the slide, firstly, we see that only 7.9% of our total debt is in the short-term, a very comfortable position. Another important point to highlight is that the average cost of debt in dollars in the fourth quarter was 5.07%, as you can see in the pie chart on the chart, which is still around 0.7% above the interest on our bonds for the same average term of 6 years. And thus, it means that we still have a potential opportunity to reduce $90 million in financial expenses. As I mentioned earlier, I would like to highlight the continuity of our liability management. In 2020, we announced the payment of bonds that were due in 2023 and 2024 in a total amount of $1.3 billion. We also issued a local debentures in Brazil in the total amount of 1.9 billion reais in December. And it's worth me remembering that in February of this year, we used cash to pay the bond that was due to 2025 in the amount of $1.05 billion. With that, the average cost of debt fell to 5% in the first quarter of 2021. Another important point to mention is that we continue our process of better balancing the debt with cash generation between business units, more specifically between United States and Brazil. Currently, the U.S. entity has 85% of our total debt and around 80% of the free cash flow generation in 2020. This better balance, in addition to reducing costs, generates greater cash efficiency and less exchange exposure in the parent company's balance sheet. Now let's talk about the business units. Please, let's move to slide 29. Let's talk about Seara. We have, on the fourth quarter of 2020, net revenue growing 32% in the annual comparisons, with EBITDA growing 51% and presenting a margin of 14%. And it's worth mentioning that, considering the impact of the extemporaneous tax credits in the EBITDA margin for Seara, the EBITDA margin of Seara would be 17.8%. For the year, Seara posted a revenue of 26.7 billion reais, an increase of 31%, and an EBITDA of 4.2 billion reais, with margin of 16%. Sales in the domestic market totaled 4.1 billion reais, 33% higher year on year. Once again, the prepared foods category was the highlight, recording an increase of 30% in volume sold and 23% in average sales price for the period. This performance is also a result of all the innovations launched by the company since 2019, which have increased their share in the business results by 3 times since then. In terms of market share, Seara brand increased its advantage in 3.4 percentage points in comparison with the second brand in frozen food category, being the leader by the second year in a row. Seara also reached the leadership in portioned sausage meats and frozen vegetable categories. Also, the holiday campaign had the best sellout of its history, reaching 18% increase year over year in sales, mainly due to a 17% increase in prices. In the export market, net revenue was 3.5 billion reais, a 30% increase over the fourth quarter 19, mainly due to an increase of 27% in prices. Now let's move to page 30, JBS Brazil. We see the revenue for the quarter growing by an expressive 40% and an EBITDA margin of 5.1%. Again, it's worth mentioning that here, that considering the impact from the extemporaneous tax credits, the EBITDA margin would have been 6.4%. For the year, the revenue reached 42 billion reais, and the EBITDA margin expanded from 5.4% in 2019 to 7.4% in 2020. In the domestic market, sales represented 56% of this business net revenue and were 46% higher than the fourth quarter 2019. This increase results mainly from the beef business, Friboi, that posted an increase of 15% in volume and 30% in average sales price of fresh beef. In the export market, fresh beef sales grew 3.2% in volumes and 20% in prices, with a highlight to China and Hong Kong, which revenues increased around 60% in this period. Despite the margin impact in the quarter due to an increase in the production costs, notably in cattle prices, the annual performance of JBS Brazil was positively impacted by the company's performance in the export market and by the strategic partnerships it has been focusing with its key customers in Brazil, such as Açougue Nota 10 and Açougue Gourmet 1953 Friboi, in addition to the constant pursuit for operational efficiency and high value-added products. Now let's move to page 31 at JBS USA Beef. And now, speaking in dollar terms and in U.S. GAAP, JBS USA Beef's revenue reached $5.6 billion in the fourth quarter with an EBITDA margin of 9%. As a result, JBS USA Beef ended the year with the revenue of $22 billion and presented an annual increase of 23% in EBITDA, reaching an EBITDA margin of 11%. In North America, the industry fundamentals remained solid during the quarter and throughout 2020, supported by the good cattle availability and beef demand. Despite the reduction in the volume produced, a consequence of the pandemic impact in the first half of the year, sales revenue surpassed the previous years due to the increase in demand, both in the domestic and international markets, which boosted the price of products sold. In addition, there was an improvement in the product mix resulting from innovation in value-added programs. In exports, the highlight was the volume and mix products exported from the United States and Canada to China. It is worth mentioning that considering the data released by USDA, JBS represented more than 50% of the total volume of beef exported from the United States to China in 2020. In Australia, however, the low availability of cattle throughout 2020 has significantly reduced beef production and consequently the business margin in this region. On the other hand, Primo Foods, which is the prepared food and branded products operation, maintained its consistency of performance and presented very positive results. Now let's move to slide 32, JBS US Pork. In the last quarter of the year, the revenue grew 12.5%, and EBITDA margin was 10.2%. For 2020, revenue totaled $6.2 billion, and EBITDA amounted to $607 million, with a margin of 9.8%. That is slightly higher than the previous year. The 12.5% increase in net revenues in the fourth quarter was due to an increase of 9.5% in average sales price and 2.7% in volume sold for the period. Throughout the quarter, pork production and prices decreased due to a certain seasonality, but mainly due to the growing demand in the domestic and international markets. I would like to highlight the exports in 2020, where volumes during the year exceeded significantly the previous years. It is worth mentioning that, according to USDA data, China has become the main consumer market for American pork, and that at JBS USA, 32% of the total pork export volume was directed to China. Japan, Mexico, and Canada were also highlights of JBS USA pork exports throughout the year, as well as other smaller markets that increased their participation, such as Philippines and Chile. The former Plum Rose, now rebranded to Swift Prepared Foods, remains focused on the organic growth of its operations, investing in the expansion of its production lines and in the greenfield projects. In 2020, new bacon production lines were added at the Ottumwa plant, as well as the construction of the new pre-cooked and cooked bacon plant in Missouri, which we will start operating in mid-2021, with the capacity to process 11,000 tons per year. Additionally, we continue to make progress on the already announced project of a new plant for production of Italian meats and charcuterie ready-to-eat products, with an estimated investment of $200 million, and which is expected to be operating by the end of 2022. Now, Pilgrim's Pride on page 33, please, presented revenue of $3.1 billion in the quarter, as well as an expansion of 27% in the EBITDA, with a margin of 6.6%. In the year, the EBITDA totaled $788 million, with a margin of 6.5%. In the U.S., PPC's operating performance has continued to be resilient, driven by its partnership with the key customers and the resilient focus on execution. Within the case-ready and small bird business, strong key customers' demand from QSR and retail customers has continued to remain strong. With the commodity sector has continued to be challenging, the company continues to improve its operational efficiency in that business. In Europe, despite the significant hit of COVID-19, the EBITDA was 6% higher than the previous years, reflecting the strength and consistency of our business model. And the performance of the newly acquired European operation has continued to improve, with the performance driven by strong pork exports and good domestic demand, as well as from the continuing implementations of operational improvements and capturing of synergies. In Mexico, after a very challenging first half during 2020, operations have continued to rebound strongly and deliver great results in the second half of the year, in line with prior years. Now, please, on slide 34, to conclude, it shows that our exports amounted to $14 billion in 2020, with Greater China representing 31%, and Asia as a whole representing 53% of this total. With that, I would like to open for our question and answer session, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star 2. Our first question comes from André Hachem with Itaú.
Hello, thank you for taking my questions. I basically have two questions. So firstly, congratulations on the results. They were very strong. So my first question is relating to 2021, looking into SAADA. We're seeing a lot of cost pressure when we look in terms of grains. And on the other hand, we're seeing a purchasing power, per se, coming down. So if you could comment on how you're seeing the environment in terms of new costs or new price increases and passing through these costs, it would be very helpful. The second question is regarding capital allocation. You're generating a lot of cash flow. I mean, when we look into 2021, the prospects for the year still look very good. So if you could comment on your appetite in terms of dividends and buybacks going forward. And a final question, which is a bit unrelated to the first two, would be relisting in the U.S. or listing in the U.S., how that effort is going forward. So a lot of questions on my side, but that's pretty much it.
Hello, André. Thank you for the question. We are divided in to make three questions, I understood. Seara, capital allocation in U.S., correct?
Exactly.
Okay. We'll start with Seara. Wes, can you answer about Seara, the cost pressure and the...
Sure. Good morning, André. For sure. The grain, increasing in cost coming from grains is a challenge for us. Like I mentioned in the previous call, we know about, you know, that this was coming since the mid 2020, so we knew that there was going to be this sort of inflation on grain. We, since that period of time, we started working very hard on minimizing the cost by increasing efficiency, improvements in our live side of the operation, and also already doing a lot of work with product mix. So a lot of the improvement in prices will also come through improvement of mix, and we've started that since the beginning of last year. Now, for sure, it's a challenge. No question, will be a challenge. And the structure of cost is different for 2021 as opposed to the previous 2 years. So, you know, it might be necessary to have further pure price increases. We are, you know, looking at the market, and we'll see what will be necessary to maintain our margins. Regarding purchase power, yeah, that's a challenge. But on the other hand, we have two things. Some of the value-added items we have been investing in and looking to sell more and more, they're not so impacted by this. And we also see a very strong export market, which will also help compensate that. That is from Sarah.
Thank you. About the capital allocation, Andre, using our cash generation for growth has been and continues to be our priority. And we are constantly looking for opportunities, making acquisition, a strategic acquisition, and should be at the right price. You know? And, you know, in these times, it's important to have a financial discipline that will not change. This year, last year, 2020, we are able to make some true strategic acquisition, pay debt, and invest in our plans to accelerate investments and repurchase shares, and we propose a record dividend. But our focus is being for use our cash and growth. Andre, I think you have a question about the U.S.
Yes, my question regarding the U.S. would be regarding the listing in the U.S. How advanced is that effort? What would be the milestones to look out for? So if you could give us any comments in regards to listing within the U.S.
Andre Nogueira, could you answer?
Lazone, I think that the question is about U.S. listing, so...
U.S. listing, U.S. market, that was not clear. Oh, no, U.S. listing, let me answer, Andre, please. Look, the public list in U.S. continues to be our strategy, movement. It's natural strategy, it's natural way. And the listing is not a question of if, but rather than when. And it will happen at the most opportune moment and the best interest of the company.
Perfect. Very clear, guys. Thank you for the answers. And again, congratulations on the results.
Our next question comes from Ben Theurer from Barclays.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and as well from my side, congrats on the strong results. Two and a half questions, to be honest. First one is just a quick follow up on the listing. So obviously, you also still have a little bit of the overhang of BNDES having stated a while ago that they want to divest, and I mean obviously that's a roughly 22% participation. Could you give us an update on what your talks are with BNDES in terms of the stake sale, and if that could potentially coincide with the U.S. listing, just to have like that one liquidity event, just to understand a little bit where you stand on that. That would be the follow up, and then I have two more. Thank you.
Yeah, I believe we are not the right people to answer this question, because we are just able to talk about the company, not what our shareholder is thinking about.
Okay. I'll take it from there. Perfect. And then maybe that one's for Andre. So obviously in the U.S., the beef business has been very strong, and we've seen very strong fundamentals within the first quarter as well. But if you could give us a little bit of an update on the situation down in Australia and how that actually evolved and impacted during the last quarter. I mean, we know there's been a lack of cattle availability, but there's hope that there can be some good replacement and rebuild now with La Nina and actually some excess water right now. So just to understand what your expectation is within the Australian business and how you've actually performed over the last couple of weeks, months in that business, considering the issues on cattle availability.
Ben, morning. Thanks for the question. You are right, Ben. U.S. fundamentals, U.S. and Canada fundamentals are very strong. Good supply of livestock and very, very strong demand. You followed this very closely. How's the cutouts behaving in February, for example? Very unusual. February, normally historic, is the low month in terms of demand in U.S. But the cutoffs have been performed very well and very good demand globally, not only, of course, China, that we are doing, us as a company in particular, doing very well. We had 50% market share last year, showing how strong our customer base there, how fast we can move to take advantage of the market, but in total Asia. And with the reopen in food service starting in the U.S., we're seeing the last few weeks a very strong demand come from food service. So the perspective for the year for U.S., our Fed business, our regional business, and our Canadian business, plus our continued investment in value added for the process, it's, the perspective is very positive. Australia in the commodity side, beef and lamb, absolutely the opposite. Very, very challenged. Australia right now, we don't have a great statistic come from the country, but my guess that Australia probably is processing less than 100,000 cattle per week, has been this way since last quarter. It's not new. And the normal would be 140,000. So you can see that's 40,000 less, or almost 40% less production in Australia happening right now. It's very good news for the future, because farm condition and ranch condition in Australia is extremely good, and they receive even more rain this week, pretty much all over the place. So pretty much setting the condition, a very strong condition for grass in Australia for the full year with the amount of water that they're receiving right now. So we're going to continue to see a very strong retention and rebuild of the herd in Australia. My guess, the bees will be very challenged this year, and probably recover with more availability to start next year, Ben. The business not contributing a lot in terms of EBITDA because of the commodity side. Our other business, our small business, are doing very well, but not enough to offset what we are not making in the commodity. So Australia has been a drag in our performance with not a strong contribution in absolute number for our EBITDA, and that's what I expect that will continue for the full year. And very positive in the other business. Primo doing extremely well, Primo growing volume, Primo growing margin, our process business there, branded business there, but the commodity side, very, very challenging, and will continue. I don't think that this will improve this year. Was very challenging the second part of last year, third and fourth quarter, and continue this first quarter and probably continue for the year with the normal seasonality, okay? The first quarter is always much more challenging in Australia, improve a little bit in the second quarter, but not far away from what would be the normal level. And that caused them, to be honest, reinforce why U.S. and Canada are so strong, because Australia is a big, big exporter, and a big export for the same market that U.S. serves. So Australia is a big export, was a big export to China, is a big, big export to Japan, to Korea, to Indonesia, to Malaysia. So all the markets that U.S. serves. So that's why probably the demand from the U.S. and from Canada beef have been so strong.
And then one last one on ESG and your targets for going net zero by 2040, and maybe that's for Tomazoni. So you've made very clear that you're not only talking about scope 1, scope 2, and very narrow scope 3, but actually the broader scope 3, which would include a lot of your suppliers, which is to a degree out of your control. So just to understand what you're thinking over the next two decades, how you can drive and work together with your suppliers to actually be net zero, including scope 3, or is that part really more offset by certain initiatives you can do for carbon offsetting and not so much by reducing, just to understand how you come up with the math? Hello? Tomazoni?
Sorry, I'm on mute here. I'm talking mute. Sorry. We have submitted our commitment to the World Nations this week in and the 1 point and the science based target SBTI, and we are deploying first we are evaluate our emission according to the criteria of SBTI and scope 1, 2, and 3. We have a lot of information about scope 1 and scope 2, but we have narrow information about the scope 3. And we are use the science database to calculate and to evaluate all of the emission and the sequestration from the gas as well. And but of course, where do that? We have 2 years to do that, but before of that, we are already working on that. We are accelerate what we have done so far to sequestrate carbon in our internal operations and to use science-based solutions for agriculture natural solutions for speed up the capture and the generation from the emission of the other cattle. If you consider that in a normal traditional farms, the emission that we have with a technology farm, well managed, and you change dramatically the situation. For example, if you intend to have the emission, you can capture gas from the farm, but you need to adapt integration with agriculture, cattle, in reforestation, and we are put now in Brazil Green Office to support our farmers to apply this new technology. And so when we have more information, we are disclosing.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for the explanation, and congrats again on the results.
Our next question comes from Leandro Fontanese with Bradesco BBI.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Just a quick question on the U.S. We have been seeing, you know, the U.S. government launching some big stimulus, you know, giving checks to consumers. Do you think, are you feeling that this is helping on the consumption side for your segment there? And how do you see the outlook in terms of demand given this stimulus? And I understand you mentioned, you know, you don't like to comment about, you know, competitors, but just thinking how you see in terms of the beef industry in the U.S. in terms of capacity, watering capacity, if you can comment, thinking about the next 2 to 3 years, because it has been pretty stable in the last couple of years. Thank you.
Morning, Leandro. Thanks for the question. And for sure, the stimulus helped. They just issued last week another round of checks of 1,400. So for sure, it will help. It's probably impacting some retail demand this week, next week. How much is this relevant? I cannot put this math for you. But this is causing other consequences too, both the stimulus and the additional unemployment checks of the $300 on top of what the state unemployment. Labor is becoming very, very tough, despite of a relatively high unemployment in the U.S. right now at 8%, but for perspective, this will drop very fast. I think that now, because of the stimulus, because of the unemployment help, absenteeism is pretty high, and probably labor will be a challenge. So it will be a constraint in production in the U.S., I believe, for the full year, labor availability in several parts of the U.S. production. So you have, on one side, the stimulus probably help demand a little bit. I'm not so sure how much. And the other side, constrain in the production side because of labor. I think that the U.S. industry is very balanced right now in terms of supply of cattle and capacity. The most important event probably is demand. As I already said before, global demand pretty strong, U.S. and Canada domestic demand pretty strong, and I don't see that change. So, again, my perspective is positive because one side you have a adequate supply of cattle, adequate supply of hogs, and the other side a very strong global demand that, in my perspective, will become even stronger as we start to see the economy reopen, especially the countries that are more advanced in vaccination, like U.S. We have, for example, more than a third of our workforce already vaccinated, and probably at the end of next week, we will have probably around 50% of our workforce already vaccinated. So I think that this will bring normality for U.S. Very fast and probably help in the demands even more in the demand side.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Lucas Ferreira with JP Morgan.
Thanks. I have a question to André Nogueira. André, wanted to pick your brains on pilgrims, your outlook for pilgrims in 2021, especially in the U.S. Some of your competitors have been very bullish about pricing, about the supply and demand dynamics, and we've been monitoring that spreads have actually been increasing despite of these very high corn prices. So I was wondering, you know, you did a lot of that migration from, let's say, food service, you know, to retail, to trade packs, and with the reopening now, the vaccination, how your mix of products is looking like. Are you also positive about margin expansion? And your, let's say, feed acquisition strategy, will it allow some margin improvements already in the short term. So how to think about Pilgrim's profitability, let's say, first half of this year. Thank you.
Hey, Lucas, thanks for the question, and good morning. For sure, the perspective for the chicken industry in the U.S. now is better than was, I would say, a month ago. I think that we're seeing a more balance in the grain price. It's not low, but stopped going up, and have a good perspective that in the second part of the year, this price probably will come down. So you have a, compared from a month ago, probably a more benefic perspective in the grain side. And in the demand side, I would apply the same rationale for beef, pork, and chicken. You are seeing the price that we're seeing right now. You follow that in the chicken price, in breast meat, in dark meat. It's way higher than it was in the same period of last year. And you have several issues in the production side. We have a big, big storm in Texas that impacts production, and not only impacts production, but probably will continue to impact production for the next 3 months. So USDA is expecting that the total chicken production this year will just grow less than 1%, 0.5%. So they're saying that production this year will be pretty much in the same level of last year. And exports have been pretty strong. You saw how fast U.S. took market share in China, and you're seeing the most recent numbers of exports to countries like Angola and other countries. So we have a stronger performance in export, a strong domestic market. Probably chicken is the business that will benefit more for the reopen of food service, especially school and things like that are a little bit behind. So as food service go back to normal, especially schools, colleges, chicken get the more benefit. They were more intact last year, so they'll get the more benefits and reopen. And another point that I think that's very positive for chicken for the year, when you look the levels that probably are going to see of beef and pork. Keep in mind that we're seeing pork cut out right now almost 50% higher than the same time of last year. Beef cut out right now almost 15% higher than the same period of last year. So I'm cautious optimist. We have the cost side that will be a challenge. We have the labor side that will be a challenge, but at the other side, put some constraints, increase production. And you have the demand side that, in my view, it's very positive, both domestic and internationally.
Thanks, and a quick follow-up here. Looking at the data, the pricing data, it feels like the commodity cuts are doing better as of now. So like the big birds, and you mentioned exports, the light quarter is also very strong. Have you been able to adjust your mix to benefit of this? Can you comment about the specifically about the mix of cuts, please?
Yeah, we for sure always look the mix based on the profitability, but you don't adjust the mix in 2 or 3 weeks, correct? It takes a little bit of time, but for sure, over time, as we see, we are going to adjust the mix to capture the marks that allowed us better margin. But this adjustment not from 1 week to the other. You have some space there to adjust, but not from 1 week to the other. But you are right. You are seeing some segments improve margin pretty strong. And the first, always, when you see that, as the market starts to improve, the first one that gets the benefit is the more commodity side. It's always happened this way, correct? When it's down, the commodity server first. When it's up, the commodity benefit first. But normally this benefit filters through the other segments. So that's our expectation.
Thanks, Andrea.
This concludes today's question and answer session. I'd like to invite Mr. Tomazoni to proceed with his closing statements. Please go ahead, sir.
I'd like to thank all of you to participate in this call.
and special to our team members for the great work and the commitment to our purpose to feed people around the world with the best and an increasingly sustainable manner. Thank you.
That does conclude the JBS audio conference for today. Thank you very much for your participation. Have a good day, and thank you for using Chorus Call.